T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. We made it, Randy. The weekend right around the corner.
Yeah.
It is Friday, and I guess I just wonder... there's been a lot of hard mornings this week.
Yeah, man.
Monday sucked because of Sunday.
Yeah.
Tuesday was tough because the Braves game on Monday. Yesterday was awful, obviously, because the 10-run first inning on Wednesday night. We feeling a little bit better today? I mean, today is like the first day this entire week where something catastrophic didn't happen last night. So
I'm
that's
cool.
Good.
I'm cool, man.
I'm feeling
cool,
better.
Man. I'm feeling better, man. But
we did lose our soccer game last night. But that was Abe's fault.
Yeah, it's Abe's fault.
Yeah, it's Abe's fault.
Yeah, y'all got a goalie named, you know,
Abe.
Yeah, I don't want to say that, but you got a goalie named Abe, of course, man. Yeah. And then you're talking about you in the bullpen, talking about some lady was fouling you.
Oh yeah, I was getting like murdered
by the lady
over and over again.
Really,
just cheap shots to the knees, to the ankles. Yeah, it's tough last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to go because you can't hit her back.
Nope, you can't say anything.
You can't say anything either.
You can't say anything. You just take it and hope the ref calls it, and he didn't. But that's okay, you know. Such is life.
Yeah, and she probably picked you out though.
Oh yeah, she saw. I was a mark.
Yeah, she singled you.
She's like,
out.
Oh yeah, like, he's a
wimp. I got him.
He's not going to do anything back.
I got this.
He's going to kick him in his ankles. He's not going to say anything.
Yeah.
So I do. I mean, it is nice to at least have a day where we can gather ourselves a little bit and beautiful, look ahead to the weekend.
Beautiful weather.
It is beautiful
it's
weather.
Nice outside.
It is absolutely beautiful weather. It's supposed to be, well, it's supposed to rain a little bit this weekend, but I'm actually fine with that. Like, we haven't had rain in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, tons to get into today. We'll get into what's trending coming up in about 20 minutes. The Braves had their end of season press conference yesterday, which sucks because the season shouldn't be over yet, but it is. And there was a few things of note in there that were pretty interesting. Some Josh Donaldson comments that I think are interesting. My big takeaway from the Braves press conference yesterday was that Brian Snicker's not. I mean, if there was any thought that Brian Snicker was going anywhere, there really wasn't anyway. You can put those thoughts to bed. Snit's not going anywhere.
No, he's not.
He's gonna be the manager of this
team.
He's
not. And you would think that, you know, and that was my biggest thing about yesterday when we were talking about Brian Snicker was, I mean, he did win 97 games. He did get to playoffs, but he didn't get over the hump. And I know people are tired of the whole Bobby Cox lineage and all those Asher Holtz. I get it. Me too. But I mean, 97 wins, 97 wins, and unless you're going to tell me you're going to go get Madden or somebody like that, which they should have did, you know, a while ago when the opportunity came to get him as the manager, then, I mean, who else is out there? And as I say that, I'm sure people are going to throw out names of who's out there as a manager. But, I mean, until they just fall off the map. I know yesterday was – I mean, the day before yesterday was – it was hard. It was. But how much did you put on Brian Snicker? How much did you put on that on the personnel? How much did you put on the players? Because, you know, I'm not even about saying – oh, it's not Snicker's fault. Or it's everybody's fault because everybody was culpable in it.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
I agree with that 100%.
You know?
I think the important thing, you know, obviously yesterday was so raw, and it still is for a lot of people, and it should be. I mean, that was an awful way to go out. It's going to continue to be brought up over the next couple of weeks because one of these two teams that you are better than is going to be in the World Series.
Right.
And one of them might win. The Nationals might win the World Series.
Yeah.
Frustrating. but, I mean, if you're out of the playoffs. But as time goes by, the emotion subsides a little bit, and then you can really take a look back at the season and be honest about what it was.
Mm-hmm.
As we do that, we're going to do this coming up at 10:40 this hour, is you look ahead to what needs to happen in the offseason. I think you and I put together three things each that we think the Braves need to do this offseason in order to, you know, whether it's improve someplace or fortify one part of their rotation or lineup or whatever. There's a lot of things that have to happen this offseason. You and I ranked our top three. We'll get to that at 10:40. What's trending coming up in 15 minutes? But obviously, a big part of our focus today is going to be something that we've been talking about all week, and that's the Falcons in the desert. They've been out there all week long, Randy.
Yep.
Bonding, getting to know each other better, having trust falls and prayer circles and all kinds of stuff to try to get whatever it takes,
whatever
man.
It takes, man.
Get everybody back together on the same page, hopefully, and try to get a win on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals because, and I think I've said this each of the last 3 weeks, but I'll say it again. If you don't get it done this weekend, well, then I just don't really know what to say.
Don't.
Because, like, all of the stuff that we've talked about, like, all the on-field stuff, okay, that just needs to get better and get fixed. But everybody made a big deal about, well, this week they're spending together. Like, okay, well, if that didn't work, then what's going to work?
So the way you phrase the you know, they're spending the week out, this is already planned. You know
sure,
what I'm saying?
I know
this
that.
Is
I know
planned
that.
Before the season and everything as far as when you're going to stay that week because so much it goes into.
But everyone keeps saying it's perfect timing.
The reason it is perfect timing is because of a lot of things that Arch said yesterday. It's just to get away from this, you know what I'm saying, and be out there together. Because the one thing about when you're on these week-long trips, which I've been on two of them, is that all you have is each other. You know what I'm saying? And all you can do is bond with your brother and do all that stuff. And I think it was just a good thing. And I think they got the right opponent. I think that this Arizona Cardinals team is not very good. And with me saying that, I don't know if they're going to win. I think they're going to win. I'm going to pick them to win this football game. And I know Brian put down on the rundown, should the Falcons be favored in the game? I think they should. I think they're a better football team, and if you look at what's going on in Arizona, some of their key players are questionable, don't know if they're going to play. But, I mean, if not, when? You know, I mean, you look at this O-line. We were talking in the bullpen. We know how Cliff Kingsbury wants to run this thing. He wants to have five linemen and four wide receivers. So that means there's open edges for your edge rushers.
Yep.
Now, can they get home? All right? And that's the biggest thing. Can Tack, Vic, you know, Claiborne, Grady, all these guys – can they make a play? Because and I'm sorry, that was West who said that yesterday. But going back to Dave, if you don't corral that young man, number one, it's gonna be a long day because the dude is elusive. He can run. He can throw the football. And what he does is he gives you opportunities to sack him because he's not where the O-line thinks he's gonna be. And that's why a lot of sacks came from Arizona this year because I'm thinking you're seven steps behind me,
right?
And you're over by the damn tackle. You know what I'm saying? So if they can take advantage of that, I mean. Why not?
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you say, if not now, when? Because it hasn't been yet, for sure. And it's been against teams that we thought that the Falcons should be able to beat, right? I mean, we thought they should beat the Colts. We thought they should beat the Titans. I know the Texans are a good team, but I didn't expect the Texans to do what they did to the Falcons last weekend. So, yes, there's a lot of things that have to get cleaned up on the field. But when you sort of factor in all of the issues that have happened thus far, all of the talking that's been done about trying to fix all of those issues, some of the adjustments that I assume Dan Quinn will make this weekend to try to fix some of those issues, plus the fact the Cardinals aren't a very good team,
right,
and the perfect timing of being out there and spending this time together this week, like, if all that stuff doesn't lead to a win this weekend, well then damn. Like,
I mean, that's all you can say.
I just don't have a whole lot to say about what this team is.
That's all you can say, is damn. You know, because this team, they have talent. Are they a talented team? We've been breaking that down the last couple of weeks. I mean, they have talented players. They got, you know, they got talented players at certain spots. I think they got a talented player at every spot. You could say the D-line, well, Grady's a talented player, you know. And
yes.
What they have to do is that they have just got to put it on themselves. I don't know what Dan is going to do as far as replacement, who's going to play where, as far as the cornerback, the O-line. We don't know. I mean, all we know is what he said, and Kendall Sheffield's name has been coming up, and then yesterday we hear about something with the O-line. So we don't know what to expect on Sunday, but my thing, what I expect them to do, I expect them to play better, Andy. And is that a rush to judge it by me? Probably. But this is just my expectations when I'm looking at who they're playing against.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Arizona's not a good team, and it's not a good vibe out there. It's a terrible stadium to play in my opinion. I just don't like playing. There's no atmosphere there or anything like that. But if you start giving them a chance to make them feel like, you know what, we can turn this into a home field, that would bring a crowd into the game.
And that's exactly what happened last week with the Cardinals. We'll get back into this in just a second after we give you another chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Ooh, spice.
Spice.
S-P-I-C-E, Spice. You have until 10:59 to text SPICE to 72881 from your cell phone. Message and data rates may apply. Please, people, do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, the word is SPICE. Make sure you text it to 72881.
All right. So, again, we'll get into what's trending coming up in about 10 minutes. A lot of audio from yesterday as we look ahead to this weekend and look back to some of what happened earlier in this week as well. But you're right, Randy. I'm with you. My expectation is that at a certain point, there's just going to be some improvements, like some mild improvements throughout this season for the Falcons. And honestly, I think, and baby steps, right? I mean, I think you just have to be honest about where we're at. I think you can beat the Arizona Cardinals if you just do one of the things that you have not done this season. Like, there's things that this team can't do, right? Or at least they've shown us this season that they can't do. Mm-hmm. They don't do a good job of getting to the quarterback.
No.
They don't do a very good job of protecting Matt Ryan.
No.
They don't do a particularly good job of running the football. They don't do a great job of tackling. Like, do one of those things in a non-embarrassing fashion on Sunday, mm-hmm. and you should be able to beat the Arizona Cardinals, because the Cardinals aren't a very good team. Like, you have to do all of them. I'm not asking for the world here. I'm just saying maybe run the ball on Sunday. Maybe find a way to run the ball. Maybe find a way to wrap up. And actually, if I had to point to one of those things that they don't do well that they need to do well this weekend, tackling is going to be really important.
It's going to be really important because, again, you got a really elusive, shifty quarterback.
All right? And who likes to throw short passes.
Exactly. So you got to rally to the ball and tackle and everything. And if Dan's going to simplify maybe the defense and everything, because a lot of times when you play against a young quarterback, you want to throw looks at him that he hasn't seen or anything. But, I mean, sometimes you just got to line up and beat the man across from you. I mean, it really doesn't take design and all those things that, you know, exotic things that people want to throw at you. Sometimes just take lining up and just beating your man. And that's what they have to do more. They got to win more battles than they lose, which is every football game. But, I mean, why? I don't think the expectations should be a shock if Falcons win. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should win.
You should.
You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be shocked if they win this game on Sunday.
Yeah, but would you be shocked? No, I'm not even going to ask it.
Would you be shocked if they lost?
No.
Okay.
No.
But I would be
I'd be disappointed.
I'd be disappointed. But would I be shocked if they lost this game?
No. No. Well, because you have to be honest about what you've seen so far.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what the 5-game track record tells us right now. But I wouldn't be shocked if they win either, and I certainly hope that they win on Sunday. We've got our keys to the game coming up a little bit later on in the show. Like we said, we each put together three things the Braves have to do this offseason at 10:40. Coming up next, though, what's trending to kick off the show right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, at some point, we'll probably appreciate winning the division 2 years in a row and the good that occurred this past year. But, you know, today it's tough. And especially from my standpoint as a front office, we need to turn the page quick and get to work and get back here next year, back to hopefully winning the division and get deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the voice of Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos yesterday from their end-of-season press conference. And you could hear it in his voice. You could hear it in Snit's voice and a lot of the answers that they gave, too. They're mad. They're disappointed. And they should be. I think that's how we all feel also. Like, their end-of-their-season press conference shouldn't have been yesterday.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have happened yet.
They should be
getting ready for a home game tonight against the Washington Nationals, which is one of the things that makes it even more frustrating. But he's right. Like, eventually, at some point, we'll look at these last 2 years, and hopefully it's the start of another great run of winning the division year after year after year, and say, yeah, it's pretty cool that you did that 2 years in a row. But that's certainly not where we're focused on right now.
About that,
we're
bro.
Frustrated that it's over.
We done had back-to-back years of champagne baths at the end of the season.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about, we need some playoff. You know, we need a series champagne a champagne bath right now. And Alex, I mean, he's right. It's time to get back to work. I mean, it's a lot that's going to be on him. Like I said, in the next segment, we're going to get into some of the moves that we think they should make. But, I mean, did we see Liberty Media give him more flexibility earlier in the offseason to make things happen? For instance, if he
this
wants
time,
to, this time?
I hope so.
You know what I'm saying? Because don't spoil us at the trade deadline.
Right.
And do those things and not allow him to do certain things. I know they're young. They got a lot of young players that are hopefully going to be ready to go next year. But again, I still think it's going to come down to the arms. I think they're going to be fine as far as hitting and all those things. I think they will be just fine with that way. But you got to solidify this pitching staff, and definitely you got to find a way to solidify that bullpen.
I think it will be interesting to see how the offseason goes in terms of spending money, because you're going to have money to spend when some of these guys that were on these one-year deals are off the books. I just think that there's going to be a lot of players not on the team next year that were on the team this year that were making pretty decent contracts. So financial flexibility was a phrase we had a lot of fun with early
the
season.
We did.
And then when they kind of opened up the pocketbook and went out and got Donaldson and made trades to get Melanson and get Shane Green and guys that they had to pay some money to, that kind of went away.
Yeah.
But that was in season.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'd like to see the financial flexibility thing go away in the offseason like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to that question. Obviously, we won't know until we see it. But I can't even really give you a feel of where I would lean right now, because you'd have to think they would see the correlation between spending money and having great attendance. That was the best attendance they've had at SunTrust thus far. And I know they were better. It's only been a couple years. But still, like, you know, it makes sense. They won games. They spent money to get players to help them win games. They had more people go to the ballpark and spend money at the ballpark and at the Battery and in the surrounding area. So, I mean, I hope that they would see that. And what's the old phrase is, you got to spend money to make money.
Right.
Hopefully they would see that that worked last year and spend more. But, I mean, yeah, I know we're going to get into our three things they need to do this offseason coming up in 15 minutes. I don't even have Garrett Cole on my list because I don't think that that's realistic.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Cole, that's why I was asking you in
there. It'd be great.
I was like, well, what do you think it costs to get Garrett Cole?
$200 million.
But, I mean, but you want to win now, right?
I do.
Okay, then.
And later. Right. I want to win all the time.
But I'm just saying, so if that opportunity comes up, you ain't going
to
take?
Well, I would like to try, but I mean, again, like, are they going to? That'll be the next step.
Me and Chuck, when we used to do our weekend show, always had this phrase. Make them tell you no.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Make Garrett Cole say no. Or make somebody outbid you or something like that. But don't just, you know, assume, oh, well, we ain't going to be able to get him.
If you listen to the press conference yesterday and read the transcript, I don't know that he was specific. No, he was asked about Garrett Cole, actually, and he can't comment on specific players.
Right.
Garrett Cole's not a free agent.
No,
he's not playing right now.
Exactly.
And he can't comment on free agents anyway because that's tampering. He was able to comment on Josh Donaldson because Josh Donaldson's not a free agent. He plays for the Braves right now. Free agency doesn't start until 5 days after the World Series is over. But he said it's not really in their team-building philosophy, I'm paraphrasing, to spend big money on free agent pitchers. That's not really how they want to do
it. I get it. You want to spend more money on, you know, but all right, whatever. Whatever's clever. You know, because they do have good young pitchers. I mean, Mike Soroka took that step, and, you know, and Max Fried, and you want to see them get better and better at it. And I know a lot of talk is about Ian Anderson and guys like that. We were talking yesterday, maybe this Nuke can get his spot back in the rotation. I mean, there's so many different things you have with these young arms. But if you can get a dude.
I'd love that dude.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole is in such a great situation
dude,
right now.
He is making so much money for himself. He's going to get paid anyway.
He's going to get paid anyway.
But, yeah.
But he's got at least two more starts, maybe four more starts in these playoffs to show off what he could do. And, I mean, just say he's the World Series MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That number that I just threw out there is just going to grow and grow. Just give him a blank check.
I don't think anything we did with our roster, anything we did with our rotation was wrong. I think everything worked, actually. The biggest thing, we lost one of our top relievers the first game of the series. And we'd worked our rears off in that game to get that game where we wanted it, and we had it exactly the way we wanted it. It didn't work.
Yeah, I wouldn't say everything worked.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe your thought process still makes sense. I mean, it's fair to question a number of things that you did at this point. But, I mean, certainly not everything worked, especially the starting pitcher that you used in Game 1 and Game 4. That didn't work. Dallas Keuchel was bad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not bad. He was not good enough in the series. He went a combined 8 innings between 2 starts. That's not good enough. I mean, the reason you brought him here was to start those games. Not only start those games, but ideally, you know, be good in those games.
Correct.
And he was not particularly good. So, I don't know. I think that's fair to question. But the thing that I gleaned more than anything else from that press conference yesterday, beyond all the other stuff they talked about, Snit's not going anywhere.
I don't think so either.
Snit's the manager of the Atlanta Braves next season.
I agree. And, I mean, I'm not upset about it, you know, but you would think maybe it's time to move on, especially when you look at Alex Anthopoulos. I mean, I'm sure he wants to get his guy in here, and whoever his guy is, maybe not available or so, whatever. But, I mean, if Snit's the dude, then he's the dude. And these guys are comfortable with him. These players love him, you know, because they know how much he loves them. And so, I mean, again, I don't think we're going to fall off. And, yes, I know that other teams are going to get better. But at the same time, I still would put this squad up against most teams.
Oh, I agree.
If not all.
The young core that this team has right now, not to mention the players that are going to be coming from the minor leagues, is as good as any in baseball, which is why you feel good about it. But, yeah, and again, there's a lot of time in the offseason to talk about this and the must win that it would be for Snitker and all that stuff. But if he's back, which he's going to be, like, the expectation next year is to go to the World Series.
Yeah, it should be.
Like, that's the reality of the talent that they have right now.
Right.
Like, and if they don't do that, well,
Then he'll that'll be a flash year.
Yeah, he's gonna be gone.
It'll be a flash year.
You know, like in trying times like this, everybody's gonna have opinions on, oh, they need to do this, he needs to do this, he needs to do that, oh, we need to do this. It's like you can't do it. You can't do that if you don't fix yourself first. And I feel like, you know, me, like I need to fix Julio Jones first before I can go and, hey, do this or do that, you know? And once everybody do that, and collectively, if everybody get on the same page doing their job, right, we'll get it going.
What?
Huh?
Julio Jones talking about. He's working. Is that what they've been doing? That's what they've been doing out there, Randy. That's what we're talking about. They're working on themselves. Getting your head right, getting yourself right before you worry about anybody else. I always tell that to people who are looking to have good relationships. Focus on you first, and then you can have a good relationship. Because you can't make someone else happy if you're not happy inside.
Which
is that
true?
What Julio Jones is talking
basically,
about there?
Basically.
What?
I guess. I don't know. In Julio, and I'm trying to, you know, dig through that comment or whatever.
I think Julio's been okay. You want to hear it again?
Maybe let me hear it again.
Also, why does he whisper?
That's the part.
You know, like in trying times like this, everybody's going to have opinions on, oh, they need to do this, he needs to do this, he needs to do that, oh, we need to do this. It's like you can't do it. You can't do that if you don't fix yourself first. And I feel like,
I got it.
You know, me, like I need to fix Julio Jones first before I can go and, hey, do this or do that.
I got it.
It really does sound like he's talking about being in a relationship.
Yeah, but no, I got it. Because, you know, the one thing that I always say that if you ain't married, don't give married advice, all right?
True.
You single for a reason, all right? Don't be giving me no advice about my marriage.
Fair
when
enough.
When you're over there single. Just like if you ain't got no damn kids, don't tell me how to raise mine.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, he's absolutely correct in a point where, you know what, you got to fix yourself. You can't worry about what everybody's saying. Because, I mean, we're in this business right here. We're in an opinionated business. And we give our opinions of what we think they should do. But you can't worry about what we're saying, or fans, or anybody. You got to work within the schemes of your locker room. And right now, it is magnified because you're 1-4. You know what I'm saying? You get this win, will it mean anything to anybody? Probably not. It means nothing to me because it's like, hey, I know how hard it is to win this league.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And you always want to feel good on the plane back from a road trip. The liquor tastes just that much better on the plane. You know what I'm saying? Everything just feels good next week when you got to win.
Well, I mean, the point now is it's baby steps, man. You can't worry about anything other than winning this weekend.
Yep,
now,
we can worry about
what else is going on.
Here
but they obviously day. Can't. Like, the goal beyond that is somehow, some way, by some miracle, try to get to the bye week at 4-4. Like, if you could do that, then we're talking about an entirely different thing. But in order for that to happen, like Julio said, got to start with making sure you as an individual player are doing your job and winning this weekend.
That's the most important thing right there is you as an individual have to do your job.
Right, and that's...
You as an individual, and I said it earlier, Andy, you as an individual sometimes just got to win your one-on-one matchup. You do. And a lot of times that's what it boils down to, winning your one-on-one matchup.
And if enough guys do that this weekend,
you'll win the football game.
Maybe we'll be talking about a 2-4 football team on Monday. We'll get you our keys to the Falcons game coming up in our lunchtime Falcons report later in the show.
Hey, 2019 Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Get the most games right each week for a shot to win $1,000. Score the best score throughout the whole season. And you can win a trip to Miami for the big game weekend and $5,000. Get signed up today on the contest page at 929thegame.com.
See how Jahi's playing happy music today? Yesterday was all the sad stuff.
Yeah, you had everybody in their feelings.
Now it's happy stuff. All right, we'll come back and get to the three roster moves the Braves have to make this offseason if we want the season not to end as early as it did this year. I got three. Randy's got three. We'll tell you what they are coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'll be honest with you, I think that probably in my first meeting in spring training, I'm not going to have to tell these guys. The way they went about it last year, I got a feeling that they're going to be even more so ready to get the season going next year because there's some unfinished business.
Well, there you have it. Brian Snitker talking about what he plans to talk to the players about in his first meetings in spring training, in the incoming spring, meaning in the future. Meaning when he is the manager of the Braves in the future, which, look, we knew he was going to be. I know there's been a little bit of conversation over the last 24 to 48 hours about whether or not he should be. But he's going to be.
Right.
We knew that. Yeah. So there you have it. I mean, I guess that doesn't necessarily cement it. Alex Anthopoulos didn't come out yesterday and say, he's my manager, stop asking me about it. But they didn't even talk about it. You know what I mean? It's such a non-issue.
It didn't even come up. Discussion. Like, right. he needed a reassurance from Alex or anybody.
Right. He didn't even get the Dan Quinn vote of confidence.
Yeah.
He's just going to be here.
He's going to be here.
Yeah. Which I think is right. I don't know. I'm a Snit fan. I know I've made that pretty clear throughout the year. Not to say that he doesn't make mistakes sometimes. I just think the good outweighs the bad. Anyway, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. The Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line is open, 404-741-0929. Lots of different ways you can listen to the show. However you're listening, we thank you. Radio.com app, on the radio station, in your car, 92.9 The Game. We appreciate all of that. And we would encourage you to go check out 92.9thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page, where, in my very biased opinion, we've had some pretty good Braves conversations over the last couple of days. If you want to check out some of that, or just subscribe to the podcast, the Andy and Randy podcast, sent straight to your phone, all 4 hours, every single day. All right, Randy, the season's over. That sucks.
Yeah.
Terrible that the season's over.
Dog it.
But it is. Which means we can start talking about what this team needs to do to make sure that the season's not over so early next year. I got three things. You got three things. I'm interested to see if we have the same three things or if any of them overlap. These are just things that we think the Braves need to do this offseason to make their roster better. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Not address the tomahawk issue, not a managerial or coaching change thing. We're just talking about the roster construction of the Atlanta Braves and what they need to do this offseason to make sure that they're better next season. Where do you start?
I start with letting the young boys go, and I'm talking about that outfield. It's time for Pache and Waters to join Ronald Acuna for that outfield we've been hearing about, the future. It's time to get these young boys up here and get it going.
I love it.
So that's why
I love it, because that kind of gets at one of mine, because my number two was, you got to replace Nick Markakis. Like, mm-hmm. Nick Markakis was on 1 year deal. He had a nice run in Atlanta, came back this year for less money, which is nice. But much like last year, in the second half of the season, I know he was hurt for a lot of the second half of the season, he just wasn't productive. I mean, wasn't productive in the playoffs. And I think that if you're going to be building around a young core, like you said, Randy, get one of those other guys up here. Now, what I don't know is whether it's Pache, whether it's Austin Riley.
Right.
You need to find somebody that can legitimately bat fifth,
yes,
in your lineup,
mm-hmm,
because even when Markakis was up earlier in the year, the fifth spot in your lineup was not productive,
right,
enough. And when Austin Riley, for that brief, remember that brief period of time when Austin Riley was tearing the cover off the baseball?
Damn.
That's when the Braves lineup was almost unbeatable. That's when they were scoring 7-8 runs a night because their lineup was so long. Albies was batting eighth at that point. Dansby was batting second and doing really well. And you had Riley batting sixth, which kind of made up for the fact that Markakis at the time still wasn't hitting the baseball at fifth. You've got to do something to where the top four guys in your lineup aren't the only four guys in your lineup.
Right.
And in replacing Markakis with one of those guys, I want one of those guys to be able to bat fifth as well.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get more production from that 5-6 spot.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what they do with Dansby next year as far as where they're going to hit him in the order, because right now you don't know what's going to happen with Josh Donaldson. So if JD doesn't come back, then he might move up to the fifth spot because somebody got a bat cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, do you move Ronnie back to cleanup, because I know he doesn't want to be there, but everybody says Pache is a great leadoff hitter. I mean, it's just so much intrigue that goes with it. So I still think Ronnie deserves, and he should be the leadoff hitter. But, I mean, that's the thing I say. We don't know a lot about these young boys other than what we read about them. But I think it's time to bring these young guys up, man. And if you don't bring them all up, bring one of them up. If you want to put Riley in right field, then do that. But it's time to get some new blood up here.
I am interested to see what ends up happening with Austin Riley, because Alex Anthopoulos was asked about that yesterday. And he said, at this point, there's no guarantee. Like, I'm not saying a job is his to lose. I'm not saying anything. Like, I want him to. Oh, do you have that? All right, yeah, here's Alex Anthopoulos talking about Austin Riley.
Right now is an inconsistent season. It came up, was unbelievable, and then, you know, they found some holes and he needed to make adjustments and changes. So that's something we'll discuss. I don't, as we sit here today, you know, do I see us cementing him and giving him a position going into next year where it's just the job is his, whether it's outfield or third base? Unlikely at this point. That being said, do we believe in him long term? Absolutely. But he's a young player. He's got options. He knows this.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to give you nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
No, because if he would have stayed on the same pace as he was, oh, hell yeah. He got him a slot.
Well, right. He never would have been gone.
Exactly.
In the first place.
But my thing is that he did fall off and mm-hmm. everything. And so, yeah, he should not be guaranteed a starting spot anywhere. But then y'all tell us that he was the future? He's the third baseman? I mean, well, that's what I was told.
He still might be.
And he still might be, exactly.
21 years old, 22 years old.
I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Donaldson. I mean, a lot of people fell out of favor with him because of what he did in the playoffs. I don't know, you know.
Not me.
I didn't either. But I mean, what's the market going to be like for him?
Not sure. But that's number one on my list.
Because I mean, he made $23 million, right? Is he ain't taking less to come back to the Braves? Is he?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. It's all going to be about the years, I think, with Josh Donaldson. Yes. There's going to be a market for him.
I think so.
He's not the number one third baseman that'll be on the free agent market. That'll be Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
But he'll be number two.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, his money is going to be solid. Like, there's going to be some teams that make offers to him that will be either competitive or better than what the Braves can offer. That's my number one thing. The number one thing on my offseason list for Alex Anthopoulos to do for this Braves team is re-sign Josh Donaldson and let Josh Donaldson continue to be Josh Donaldson. Yeah. Like, the different attitude that he brought to this baseball team, the swagger that he brought to this baseball team, I thought was fantastic. Because he does it in a different way than, I guess, slightly, than Acuna and Albies and those guys, or at least other teams didn't seem to have as much of a problem with the way that Josh Donaldson did it, maybe because he's older, maybe because he won an MVP. I'm not really sure. But Josh Donaldson brought something to that clubhouse beyond just the 37 home runs that he hit and potentially gold glove defense that he played that I want on this team. And Anthopoulos said it's helpful when you're in a negotiation with a player who's a free agent when you start with mutual interest.
Right.
And that's what they have. So hopefully the Braves have a leg up, but I think you have to do that. You have to bring back Donaldson.
Okay, my second one, find your next Brian McCann.
Okay.
Find your next Brian McCann. And we got some good ones. William Contreras and I was messing with Shea Laguinas.
Yeah, the kid that they drafted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean he's a ways away.
Yeah, he's a ways away.
He's a ways away. But I mean, or Alex Jackson, somebody. Find your next Brian McCann. Because Brian, we met a guy here when he's 22, somewhere in that area, and he flourished into one of the best catchers in baseball. Go find that guy. Because I'm tired of Tyler Flowers and you know, patchwork. Find your guy and grow with him.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have that on my list, but you got to find a catcher who's going to be your catcher.
Yes.
Like, the last couple of years, now look, Suzuki and Flowers
were
fine.
They were fine.
McCann and Flowers, all right. Flowers had a rough second half of the season. McCann kind of wore down. Get a catcher. Yeah. Just have one catcher.
That's what I said. Find that spot. And what's your second one?
My last one was get a closer with some noise.
Oh, okay. Mine was add a veteran pitcher.
Okay.
With some noise.
So we're kind of all in the same ballpark. I mean, the fun thing is the Braves have the foundation in place to be exactly back where they were last year, maybe with a couple more wins and ideally not done yet. The NLCS is the minimum next season. World Series is the goal. That's just where it is. I mean, that's the trajectory. You win 7 more games than you did last year, win 7 more games this year, win 104.
Let's do it.
Unfortunately, it's over before it should have been. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. Continue to look ahead to what the Falcons need to do on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. Look at some of the other big games this weekend as well. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.